Welcome to another sermon podcast from Central Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. This episode will feature a sermon delivered by the Reverend Shannon J. Kirshner. The sermon is based on scripture from Psalm 45, verses 10 through 17, and Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. Central Sunday Morning Service for the 5th of July, 2026, 6th Sunday after Pentecost, was streamed to our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. A complete video or sermon audio replay of this service may be found on cpcatlanta.org. Select the upper right menu, and then Services under Worship.
Believe me, Kenan, I've been trying to figure out how that psalm fits with the gospel as well. Thank you, lectionary. Our scripture reading this morning, we're done with our Genesis series from the beginning, and we are now back to the lectionary selections, and we are in Matthew's gospel. Today, we're in Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. I also invite you to listen for God's living word. At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and to anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. I woke up this morning with a lot on my mind, and it was primarily set on the news of this world. Maybe some of you did too. While I imagine that many of us had a celebratory July 4th, despite the heat and the weather, I admit I've not exactly looked forward to preaching today, the day after the 250th anniversary of our country's founding. For as I watched a group of around 400 masked white men associated with a far-right extremist group march through our nation's capital yesterday with Confederate flags and yelling slogans like "Reclaim America," I was once again deeply troubled by the continued reinterpretation of our founding story, deeply troubled by the lingering effects of a national narrative written primarily by those who have power and wealth. It's a national narrative that speaks only of exceptionalism, only of greatness, only of military might. But as we know, and as that white supremacist march illustrated, our national story is much more complicated and messy. The story we are telling ourselves does not acknowledge, as Ezra Klein recently said, that though many of our founding fathers who signed the Declaration of Independence left eloquent writings to the effect that slavery is a moral horror that God will judge this country for, those same founding fathers did not abolish slavery upon our founding, and they also did not free their own enslaved people. That truth must also be woven into the national narrative that we tell as a whole country. It reminds me of what I experienced 8 years ago on a trip to South Africa. On our first day, we went to the Apartheid Museum located in Johannesburg. And when you arrive, you're arbitrarily given one of two tickets. One says white and the other says colored. And you have to go through the door to which your ticket corresponds. You can't trade out. So before you even go into the museum, you must deal with the discomfort of participating in the regime of apartheid. Furthermore, the museum is brutally honest. It lays it all out there, the horrors of what apartheid did and the miraculous work of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission that followed its abolishment. I'd never experienced a country that was so honest about their history and the pain and suffering that took place. I left there wondering what could happen here if we as a nation were dedicated to telling the whole truth about our own founding and our own history. We see glimpses of it in the Smithsonian Museum of African American History and Culture, as well as in the Equal Rights Initiative's Legacy Museum in Montgomery. But today, those truth-telling places are fighting to keep telling their stories against a national pressure that only wants us to focus on America of glory and might. And maybe it doesn't feel it to you, but to me, that feels burdensome. It feels heavy. It weighs us down. And I know I speak that as a white woman pastor in a predominantly white congregation. Yet perhaps part of the reason it all feels heavy today is also because my burden is stacked with the unfulfilled expectations I have of God. I think I'm carrying some irritation, some low-burning frustration with God over not making this world okay, over not making the collective us be more honest, over not leading the country that we love into being more committed to justice for all. How long, O Lord, we cry. I imagine, though, I'm not the only one who sometimes battles those feelings. After all, it's a common assumption that if we're trying hard enough or if we're being as faithful as we can be, then life shouldn't be this hard, not for us or for others. Expectations shouldn't go unfulfilled. Clearly, God is not living out God's job description the way we require, the way we want God to do it and on our timeline, and that can feel like the weight of the world rests upon our shoulders. Some of the people around Jesus were having that kind of an experience. Their shoulders were achy. Their necks looked strained. Their hearts were heavy and their souls worn out. It was not going the way they had planned. Jesus was not who they thought he would be. And John the Baptist's followers became some of the first ones to express those feelings out loud. In the beginning of this 11th chapter, we hear them ask, Jesus, John wants to know if you are really the one. Are you really the one we're waiting for, or should we wait for another? With their question, they tried to hand Jesus their heavy burden labeled unfulfilled expectations, but Jesus kept his hands to himself and refused to take it. He told them to go and tell John what all they had observed following him around. Jesus reminded them about the blind receiving their sight, the lame walking, the lepers being cleansed, the deaf hearing, the dead being raised, and the poor receiving good news. Go and tell John what you've seen and heard, Jesus responded. He'll figure it out. So John's followers turned to go and to report to John what they'd been told, but as they walked away, Jesus saw their shoulders were still sagging, and their hearts were still heavy. The burden of unfulfilled expectations continued to weigh them down. But it wasn't just that group of John's followers who were carrying around the heavy burden. Everywhere Jesus went, people openly argued about who he was, or rather, who he was not, from the palace steps to the temple courtyard, from the community wells to family meals. The questions kept reverberating through the crowds. Is he really it? They'd ask each other. He's not what we expected. This is not going as planned. All our problems aren't fixed. We're not great yet. Are we sure this Jesus of Nazareth is really the one? And because of that constant questioning, along with the obvious irritation and frustration they barely kept below the surface, Jesus fought daily against getting weighed down by their heavy burdens of who they thought he was supposed to be or what they thought he was supposed to do. Yet on that particular day, as he watched John's disciples walk off, Jesus finally must have had enough. What am I going to do with you? He asked the crowd. It was clear to him that none of them was satisfied, that all of them felt their expectations of him remained unfulfilled. For every time Jesus sat down with tax collectors and sinners, the people's burdens seemed to grow even heavier. He cannot be the Messiah, they would say, stumbling under the weight. He's far too open, far too convivial, way too tolerant. He eats and drinks with the wrong kind of people. He doesn't act like a Messiah should act. He refuses to stay within our boundaries, and he pushes against too many rules. No, they would say to each other, hearts so heavy they drug on the floor, that Jesus is not who I choose to be the Messiah, and he's certainly not doing it the way I would have him do it. And after the grumbling, they take another aleved erase the pain and the pressure of trying to be God. And the weight of the world caused their backs to give out, and they just sit there immobilized by the heaviness of their burdens, unable to do anything. And as Jesus lived in the middle of all this commentary about who he was and what he did, he grew deeply frustrated. No matter what, they were not satisfied. And it was sad, really. For the good news of God's reign, God's household, was breaking out all around them, and they couldn't see it. For instance, all kinds of people regularly have a good breakfast and conversation in Toll Hall on Sunday mornings. The evangelism committee is excited about designing a Central Presbyterian float for the October Pride Parade. The affordable housing project across from City Hall that's been in the works for at least a decade is finally going vertical. Church members are inviting friends to worship. Youth return from the music and worship conference wanting to learn how to play handbells. Nonprofits and other advocacy groups are already booking out rooms in our facility for next year's legislative season because they want to make a difference for justice and peace, and they know they can organize here. God's reign was breaking out all around them, and no one seemed to notice. And Jesus knew that if they were unable to even notice it, then there's no way they could participate in it. Their hearts were too heavy and their souls were too worn out from holding on to the burden of how they thought God should act in the world and who they thought Jesus should be. They were all too focused on the fact it wasn't happening in the way they expected. The reign of God was breaking out all around them, but because it was not happening on their terms and not in the ways they would have chosen, they just didn't see it. Did not fit with the story they had been telling themselves. The weight of their burdens kept their eyes on the ground. Are we sure he's the one? They asked. Surely this Jesus is not the one. And Jesus looked around and he saw the shoulders of the people he loved slumped over, and he saw the strain on their necks and their backs and saw the heaviness of their hearts and the absolute exhaustion of their souls. And Jesus decided to pray, apparently out loud, so both God and all those gathered would hear him. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, as such was your gracious will. I think there's a bit of a gotcha aspect to this prayer. Jesus definitely wanted to remind all of us that no matter how intelligent or how powerful we think we are, we're not the creator, but creatures. Truth be told, we are not the ones with the weight of the world on our shoulders, but rather we're the ones who rest in the palm of God's hand, and sometimes we get that mixed up. But after Jesus finished praying, he again looked around him at the faces of those gathered, and he again saw the strained necks and the disappointed looks and the glances of disapproval. He saw the aching shoulders of the people who wanted and needed to have it all figured out and nailed down. He watched the dragging hearts of those who acted like they had it all under control. The ones who only spoke stories of exceptionalism and greatness and might, but who underneath it all were really scared because they knew their story was not the whole one that needed to be told. And maybe due to what he saw as he opened his eyes, Jesus changed his tone. His frustration gave way to grace, just as it always does. Jesus stretched out his arms, ready to lift all of their heavy burdens, ready to help them shoulder all of the weight that was straining their necks and wearing their souls, causing their hearts to drag. He looked around, decided enough was enough, stretched out his arms, and issued an invitation. Come to me, he offered. All you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, all you who are tired of trying to figure out all by yourself, come to me. All you who are worn out from trying to keep life under your control, come to me. All you who think the world is growing scarier by the day, come to me. All of you who want the full story of who you are to be told, come to me. All you who are confused and scared, grieving and exhausted, lost and lonely, come to me. Come to me, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus stretched out his arms and called for them to lay down the heavy burden of expectations unfulfilled, the heavy burden of needing to have it all under control, the heavy burden of feeling like it's all up to you to fix. Yet these people from our past are not the only ones to receive the invitation. Jesus still stands, arms outstretched, the weight of the world on his own shoulders, and invites us to do the same. He invites us to lay down our burdens of religious dogmatism. He invites us to lay down our burdens of empty skepticism. He invites all of us to lay down our burdens of fear, our burdens of control, our burdens of shame, our burdens of anger and disappointment with God, with each other, with our country, with ourselves. Jesus stands outstretched and invites us to lay down whatever we carry that causes our backs to hurt, our souls to grow weary, and our hearts to drag. Jesus stands, arms outstretched, the weight of the world on his shoulders, and reminds us that he is the only one who can be God. We cannot. And for our sake, he invites us to stop trying and to simply learn him. He invites us to learn his story, a story that redefines our story, to rest within the yoke of discipleship, for that is enough to carry, and that is what will give us the strength to keep on keeping on. Come to me, Jesus says. All you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest for your souls, even on a complicated weekend such as this one. He may not be the kind of God we always want, but he is the kind of God we always need. May we trust that more than we fear it. And may that trust free us to experience all that God is already doing in our very midst. The Sunday morning meals, the inspiring energy of our youth, the tangible work of providing housing, the wide, inclusive welcome we aspire to offer, never getting it all right, but we try. For when we experience those things, then we too are free to participate under Jesus's light, soul-giving yoke rather than bending low and straining under the heaviness of our own burdens. For we do not need to wrestle with this all by ourselves. His arms are outstretched to help carry the load. And with him, nothing is impossible, not even taking the steps toward the America for which we long, a nation that can hold its triumphs and its tragedies together and learn from them both. A nation, to use the words of Bryan Stevenson, that feels more like freedom, more like equality, and more like justice. We just need to remember that we do not do this work alone. We never have. Rather, we do it all under the outstretched arms of Jesus, the one who always helps to ease the load and who helps to give us the courage to keep taking the steps forward into light, into justice, into freedom, into being who we know we are called to be and become, not just as people, but as a people. So on this July 5th of our 250th year of being a nation, my prayer is that tomorrow I might wake up with another song on my lips. Woke up this morning with my mind, and it was set on Jesus. Woke up this morning with my mind, and it was set on Jesus. Woke up this morning with my mind, and it was set on Jesus. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. We're going to do it now that you're familiar with it.
Woke up this morning with my mind, and it was set on Jesus. Woke up this morning with my mind, and it was set on Jesus. Woke up this morning with my mind, and it was set on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
May that be our song. Amen.
We are glad you joined us for this podcast from Central Presbyterian Church. Central is a welcoming congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA located in downtown Atlanta across from the state capitol. For more information about the life, work and ministries, please visit our website at cpcatlanta.org. We also invite you to join us for worship and Sunday school and experience this exciting and diverse body of believers who seek to be bearers of God's justice in the world. Thanks again for listening.